The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now learning Simen Kuf Yud Zayin in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. These are miscellaneous laws that relate to Pesach, and we are starting with Halacha Aleph. Im nimtza eza taroves chametz be'erev Pesach ad halayla. If one finds any mixture that contains chametz on erev Pesach up until the night, we mean until the night, not already when it's nightfall. Harehu kemoshar isurin, this is like any other isur, shabbatol b'shishim, that the principle is that it would be nullified 1 in 60, which means that if you have 1/60th of the mixture is chametz, if it's up to 1/60th, then we say that it would be batol. Ulechein im nimtza garin ba'of ubetavsho, if someone finds a kernel of chametz in a chicken or in a cooked dish, zarko, he should throw it away. V'hashar mutar le'echol afilo b'pesach, and the rest of the chicken or the cooked dish could be eaten even on Pesach. So it's important to understand this. On Erev Pesach, there's a prohibition of eating chametz, or at least certainly in the afternoon. However, this prohibition does not have the same severity as the isser of eating chametz on Pesach. And that is that on Erev Pesach, any mixture containing chametz is no different than the rest of the year that you have a mixture containing something usser. And what we would say is, up to 1/60th would be batel, would be considered nullified. You remove it, whatever you find, but the rest of it can be eaten. Aval besocha Pesach, but on Pesach itself, chametz oser afilu b'mashehu gam b'ana. We say chametz would make the entire mixture forbidden, even if there's merely a mashu, there's the smallest crumb of chametz in a mixture, so the entire mixture would be usur, gam b'hana, and it's forbidden to get any benefit from it. Umiko makam, but in any case, shenimtza eza garin mechameshes minidagon o mashu chametz, in any situation where one finds a kernel from the 5 grains or a little bit of chametz, tzrichin lasa sheila, he would have to consult a posik with what to do. Halacha beis, be'er mayim, a well of water, shenimtzo bo garine tvua, in which were found kernels of wheat, ein lehistapik mizeh hamayim, one may not take water from this well on Pesach, ela bedochik gado, except under extenuating circumstances, kigon she'ein mayim acherim benimsa, such as that there's no other water to be found. However, v'im nimsa bo chatichas pas, if someone finds a slice of bread there, aser afilo ein mayim acherim, then it is forbidden, even if there's no other water available, v'gam sinun lo mahani, and in this case, even straining it won't help, because we're dealing with a situation of chametz gomer, of absolute chametz. Halacha gimel, noagim, the custom is, shelo lev havhev es ha'ofos bekash she'im hashibalim, that we do not singe the poultry with straw that was with the sheaves of grain, because we're concerned shema yesh behen garin mechumot, that maybe there is a kernel of grain which has turned to chametz. Ulachein mahavavim ba'asavim, Therefore, we use grass in order to singe it. Ochotchen es hashibalim minakash, or we cut off the sheaves from the straw, and we just use the straw by itself. Ubidiyaved mutar, but bidiyaved, post facto, if someone already did use those shibalim, and there was no sign of kernels of wheat in there, which were mechumatz, so then we say that the food is permitted. Vizaru lito es hazefek min ha'of kodem shemahavavim loso. And they should be careful to remove the crop, which is part of the innards of the from the bird, kodem shemahavavim loso, before they singe it. The reason is because we're concerned that there might be some chametz inside the body, which was not yet digested, and we certainly do not want that to be in our poultry. Halacha Dalad. Kol mine kitnios asurim. For Ashkenazim, all types of legumes are forbidden. The Shulchan Aruch explains that kitnios refer to grains that could be cooked or baked, similar to chametz, but they are not part of the Torah's definition of chametz. So the more common examples of kitnios would be rice and corn and all types of beans and peas and mustard seeds. All of these would be in the category of kitnios. Now, min ha-Torah, kitnios is permissible. In fact, even midrabanan, there never was a gzera midrabanan that's brought down in the Gemara that kitnios are forbidden. But the Ashkenazi custom is to abstain from eating kitnios on Pesach. One of the popular explanations for this is that we're concerned that there might be grains of chametz that got mixed into the kitnios grains. Others explain that we don't want anyone to get confused if we see them allowing certain types of grains. Not others, people might think that even the chametz grains might be permissible. Now, although most Svaradim never adopted the restriction of kitnios, still they do check their rice and other legumes very carefully to make sure that no chametz got mixed in. Now, although Ashkenazim are very strict about the chumrah of kitnios, it still is not considered to have the same severity as chametz. So, for example, it is not necessary to sell kitnios. One is allowed to maintain it in their home, they just can't eat it. In fact, it is even mutter to derive benefit from kitnios. So, for example, there's no problem feeding kitnios to one's pet on Pesach. And certainly, if there's kitnios in medication, it would not be a problem using it. There is a question among the poskim whether derivatives of kitnios may be used. For example, corn oil or peanut oil. Corn syrup is also of question. And in all of these matters, there are different opinions among the poskim. It is not always so clear that which foods would be included in the prohibition of kitnios. One of the common questions that comes up every year is the issue of quinoa. Quinoa does seem to look like a seed or a kernel, but nevertheless, many poskim, many kashrus agencies will permit it, and they argue that it was never included in the restrictions of kitnios. So the Kitzer goes on. He says, V'chein kol mine peros yeveshos asurin. Similarly, any types of dried fruits are forbidden, ela im kein noda, unless it is known, she nisyabshu behechsher, al gabe konim o betanor, shehechsher l'shem Pesach. Unless it is known that they were dried on reeds or in an oven that was kashered for Pesach. Afilo te'enim yeveshim utzimukim, even dried figs or raisins, ben gedolim ben ketanim, whether they are large or small, asurim, they're all forbidden. Because the drying process itself, if it's done in a place which is not kosher the Pesach, so you could be eating things that have little bits of chametz in it. V'chein klipots parmarnetzan, these are orange peels, it would require a hechsher for Pesach. Umikomakam, hamashke she'osin min hatzimukin, the drink that they make from raisins, nogin heter l'shtoso, the custom is to permit it, even if we don't know that it was made from a chametz-free environment. Nogin shalolitin l'toch hatafsho naglich, the custom is that we do not put into a food cloves, vizafrin, or saffron. These are types of spices. Mipnei sheyesh behem chash chimutz, because there is a concern of chametz in there. Vafilo zafran hagedela b'medinaseinu baginos, even the saffron that grows in our country in people's gardens, asurim mishum lo plug, it's also forbidden because we don't want it to distinguish and we don't want to start permitting some and forbidding others and thereby have people get confused. Ushar b'samim, as far as other spices are concerned, she'ein bochshash chimutz, of which there is no concern of chametz, v'chein hamelach, as well as salt, kodem she'nosnim osam l'tapsho, before they are put into the dish, tzarech lebodkam, so they need to be inspected, m'ezer gerin tvua ma'orif behem, to determine whether a little kernel of wheat has been mixed with them. Now today, the food production industry is much more complex, and therefore the poskim recommend that virtually any food that we buy in the store must have a hechsher, must have some type of te'udah to say that it is kosher for Pesach. Halacha hey, divash, honey, ein ochlin ela mashalon nisrasek, one may not eat it unless it was not processed, oshen nisrasek aide Yisrael l'shem Pesach, or if it was processed by a Jew for the sake of Pesach. Again, today we would not purchase any honey unless it would say in it kosher l'Pesach. Halacha vav deals with the laws of matzah ashira. Let's remember that the Torah refers to matzah as lechem oni, the bread of the poor. But there's something else called matzah ashira, which literally means the matzah of the rich. There's something going to be rich about this matzah, and it means that there are other ingredients put in there besides flour and water. So he tells us, b'shas hadchak, under extenuating circumstances, kigon litzarech, chole o zokein, for example, for the needs of someone who's ill or someone who's elderly, who would not be able to consume matzah in its natural state of just having flour and water, it's difficult to digest. So someone like that, mutarin le'efos matzah im mei beitzim oshar mei peros, they would be allowed to bake matzah for them with eggs or fruit juice, kigon chalav o yayin, or like milk or grape juice, ukadoma and the like. Vihi nikras matzah ashira, this is what we refer to as matzah ashira, the rich matzah. Ubilvad sheyizharu, as long as they're careful, shelo yisarev behem afilo ma'at mayim, that there can't be even a little bit of water in there. Meaning whatever other liquid is put in there, it has to be in place of water. But it cannot be in conjunction with water, because that would possibly cause the matzah to turn to chametz. Aval b'shnei leilos harishonim, but on the first two nights of Pesach, he's referring to in Chutzlaritz, in Eretz Yisrael it's only the first one night of Pesach, Tzrichin le'echo matzah mamash. They have to eat real, bona fide matzah. Ve'ein yotzin b'matzah ashira, and one is not cannot fulfill his mitzvah by eating matzah ashira. U'shelo l'tzorach gadol, aser la'afos matzah ashira afilo kodem pesach l'shem pesach. And if it's, unless it's for a really important need, it is forbidden to bake matzah ashira, even prior to Pesach, for the purpose of using it on Pesach. So just to review, for the Seder night, one cannot fulfill their obligation with matzah ashira, under any circumstances. As far as the rest of Pesach, we hold that it is forbidden to use matzah ashira, except in a situation of great need, such as someone who is ill or someone who is elderly who would not be able to consume any matzah otherwise. And for them, we would allow them to bake matzah ashira, meaning that the ingredients are flour and some other liquid, provided that there is absolutely no water mixed in with it at all. As far as for someone who's healthy, so then they should not have matzah ashira on Pesach. This is the Psak Halacha for Ashkenazim. Halacha Zayin deals with the issue of feeding animals on Pesach. He says, Hanosein tvua omurson lifnei ofos, one who puts grain or bran in front of birds, yizaher lesitam b'mokam yovesh. He should be careful to place the food in an area that is dry, shelo yislach lachu, so that it should not become damp, because we are concerned if the food becomes damp, it might turn to chametz. Aval lebehema asur, the putting of the morson of the bran in front of birds is something which is only for birds, but for an animal, it is forbidden litain morson to put bran there, ki yislach lach min harok, because as the animal is eating it, the saliva will go onto the bran and it will potentially make it into chametz. V'gam im noson lehem tfua, and even if the grain is given to animals, yizaher l'seis lehem ma'at ma'at, one should be careful to only give them a little bit at a time, shelo yashiro miluch lochem, so that they don't leave over damp food. V'im hashiro, but if they do leave anything over, yivare miyad, it should be burnt right away before it has a chance to turn into chametz. From Halacha Ches through Halacha Yud Gimel of this siman, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch will deal with interactions with non-Jews in regard to the laws of chametz. Let's say Halacha Ches. Be'erev Pesach, mishor she'achametz ne'asar b'hana. On Erev Pesach, from the time that chametz is forbidden to benefit from it, v'chein b'kol yimei ha'Pesach, as well as during all of the days of Pesach, aser lehanos afilu mechamtzai shel goy, it is even forbidden to benefit from the chametz that belongs to a non-Jew. Ulechein aser liyisrael laholich o lishmar chamtzai shel goy. Therefore, it is forbidden for a Jew to transport or to guard the chametz of a non-Jew. Umikol shchein the aser liknos chametz b'shvil goy. All the more so is it forbidden to acquire chametz on behalf of the goy, afilu b'ma'osav shegoy, even with the money that belongs to the non-Jew. Halacha tes, v'chein asur lahaskir oz legoy behema. At the time when one may not benefit from chametz, it is also forbidden for a Jew to rent his animal to a non-Jew, shetavi lo chametz, with which the non-Jew will transport chametz. I suppose today, a more modern example of this would be to rent a car or a van to a non-Jew for the purpose that he would use to transport chametz. Oh, cheder, or a room, lasim bo chametz, to rent out a room for which the non-Jew is going to put his chametz there, that's also asur. Why? Mipnesha asur lihishtaker bisurei hana, because it is forbidden to profit from anything that's prohibited to benefit from it. Aval mutar lahaskir lo behema lashavua shapesach. It is permissible to rent out to a non-Jew an animal for the week of Pesach, chutz mi Shabbos v'Yom Tov, excluding Shabbos and Yom Tov, bistam, with no specification, she'ein ha'goy mefarish lo, shehut sarich osa lahavi chametz, that in the case where the goy does not say explicitly that he needs the animal for which with which to transport chametz. Even though the Jew realizes, it's obvious to him that the non-Jew is going to use it to transport his chametz, ein b'kach klum, there's still no problem with it. De'kevan she'af im lo yolech aleh klum, because since even if he would not do anything with the animal during that week, Yitzdarech lefroa l'Yisrael kol scharo mishalem, since he would, the non-Jew would have to pay for the full rental fee even if he doesn't do anything with the animal. So what that means is that ein ha-Yisrael mishtaker klum me'achametz, that means the Jew is not really getting any benefit from the chametz at all, and the non-Jew has the prerogative to do whatever he wants with the animal once it is rented. His other example is v'chein mutter lahaskilo cheder. It is permissible for the Jew to rent out to a non-Jew a room sheyoder bo bePesach, in which he will dwell on Pesach. Afa pi sheyodeya, even though the landlord knows sheyachnis lesocha chametz, that the non-Jew is going to bring chametz into it. Nevertheless, it is permissible, since the Jewish landlord is not receiving any payment for the fact that the non-Jew brought in the chametz, the non-Jew could do whatever he wants with it. It's just a rental fee. Sha'afim lo yachnis l'sham chametz, because even if the non-Jew does not bring any chametz into there, lo yinakem mischaro, it won't deduct anything from the rental fee. So that shows us that there's no benefit that is being derived from the chametz. Halacha Yud. Asur limsor afilo zman harber kodem Pesach behemter lugoy. It is forbidden for a Jew to give over his animal to a non-Jew even a long time before Pesach, if he knows that the non-Jew is going to feed the animal chametz and Pesach. Because even though the Jew is not present at the time, if his animal is benefiting from chametz, that is considered benefit to the owner of the animal, in which case it is forbidden. Halacha Yud Aleph. Now we're dealing with a non-Jewish worker who works for a Jew, and the Jew is giving him money to buy lunch for himself. So the halacha is mutar lomar l'mishor soy goy. It is permissible for a Jew to say to his non-Jewish worker, afilo b'shor shachametz aser b'ana, even at a time that chametz is forbidden to derive any benefit from it, Heilich mois u knelecha mizonos ve'echa. Take this money, go buy yourself something to eat, and go eat it. So that's permissible. Afa pisha hu yodeya, even though the Jew knows, sheyik nechametz, that the non-Jew is going to buy something which is chametz. U b'shasat chak, under extenuating circumstances, mutar gamkein lomar lo, it is even permissible to say to the non-Jew, say the echo, etzo goy, fani efra lo. Go and eat by a certain non-Jew who will provide you with food, and I'm going to repay him. I'm going to pay him for whatever food he gives you. It's on the house. Oy, loma legoy acher, to say to another non-Jew, tain le mishorsi lechol, give my worker food to eat, v'ani ashalem lach, I'm going to pay you. So, under extenuating circumstances, you can make such an arrangement, but lechachila, it should be avoided. Avo osur lahaktim lo esamois, b'shvil masha yiten l'mishorsoi. But it's forbidden to give the money first to the provider of the chametz on behalf of what he will in the future, meaning on Pesach, give to the non-Jewish worker. Because that would be a case where it's really similar to your actual buying the chametz. As opposed to the previous case, it's more that you're compensating for whatever chametz was provided. Halacha Yud Beis. V'chein misha hu tzorech lahachil l'tinok chametz. Similarly, a person that is required to give chametz to a young child, yisoehu el hagoy, he should carry the child to a non-Jew, v'yachilehu hagoy chametz, and the goy could feed the Jewish child chametz. V'yifrelo ha-yisrael achakach, and afterwards the Jew will pay him for it. Meaning, just like in the previous halacha, the father of the child is not supposed to pay before the chametz is provided, but he could pay for it afterwards. Avo ha-yisrael lo yachileo chametz, but the Jew is not allowed to feed a child chametz on Pesach. V'im ha-tinok misukan, and if the child is deathly ill, pshita da-hakol mutter, it is obvious that in that case everything is permissible and there's no problem with the Jew feeding the child chametz. In fact, he is required to do so. Halacha Yud Gimel. Lishtos ha-chalav mi-behemas goy, to drink the milk that came from the animal of a non-Jew, ha-ocheles chametz be-pesach, which eats chametz in Pesach. So the question over here is that considered like the Jew is benefiting from the chametz? Because the cow, presumably, could not produce milk if it doesn't eat. So he says, yesh osrim v'yesh matirim, there are those that forbid it, and there are those that permit it. V'shomer nafsho yachmir, and one who is conscientious, he should be stringent, and he should not drink such milk. Ufifrat b'makom sheno gula asar, and all the more so, in a locale, in a community, where the practice is to forbid it, chalila lahatir, it would be a terrible thing for one to be lenient and drink such milk. In the Primogodim, he says that it would be permissible to drink milk from a cow that ate chametz on Pesach if it's after 24 hours from the time that he ate the chametz. He also brings down that there are those that permit it even if it's within the same day, if the cow also ate meals of non-chametz in addition, meaning that this way we cannot necessarily associate the milk as being the product of the chametz, because any other cow ate a normal meal, and therefore, even without the chametz, the cow could have produced the milk.